God, we thank you so much. Thank you for your work, and thank you that ultimately you're the one who humbled himself for us. Thank you that you gave your life and you took on the very nature of a servant. And you call us to be servant leaders. And so, Lord, empower us to do that. Thank you that, God, you've gone before us. Thank you that, God, you live within us and that your work. Now, as we meet this evening, just to hear a few updates, reports about things that are happening, we do ask your presence. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Gordon Moore, come on up.
Thanks, Bob. I want to take a few minutes and just give you some information that would be, I think, helpful for the officers to know as you're meeting with members. And there's an assumption that officers know what's going on. And, you know, sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not. But I was just sorting through some things that I thought I'd sure want to know if I was in your position that maybe you could be of help in. So we're gonna walk through a few of those. Why don't you flip over that page? The first one is giving. You know, we're an all-in leveraging campaign that is a three-year campaign. It's $71 million is what we're hoping to have come in over 3 years. We'll be at the halfway point June 30th, but through April 30th, we've received almost $31 million, which is $1.8 million more than we expected to. So we're 8% of where we ahead of what we hope we'd be. This is me really excited. So you could, as officers, know that we're on track and a long way to go, but it's encouraging to see it so far. And then second, the stat regarding Kingdom Investments, I was stunned to realize we started that program in 2007, because I remember it was just a sort of like a mutual fund. We're going to do some neat. It'll be great, you know. So it has been fantastic. We've given 192 grants so far, and the grants have totaled a little over $8 million. And when the Kingdom Impact's been over $16 million. And I'm going to show you another chart on that in just a minute. But you know, just praise God to see what's happening. I know in this room there are a lot of stories about Kingdom Investments. So I'd love for you to, you can go online and get more information about Kingdom Investments. Again, I'm going to show you a chart in just a minute. But I just thought that would be good for you to know that $16 million of impact, 192 grants. And Clint's going to come up in a couple of minutes and share a couple of stories, but it'd be great to go on the website and learn more about that. Third one is where you see 25% plus giving outside the walls. And I was trying to figure out how much resource goes outside the four walls of Perimeter Church, and wouldn't it be good for you as officers to know that? And it's got 25% plus, but it's actually 26%. And the way I'm defining that is it's extension ministry. So I'm not, so for the school, I'm including that as an internal ministry, even though there are kids that come to the school that aren't from Perimeter. But I'm including Camp All-American as an extension ministry because about 90% of the kids that come to that are outside of Perimeter. But it's 26% of our resource goes outside our four walls. And I think that's a conservative number because we're not including staff. So if you look at the staff of global outreach and community outreach, and if you put that in there, it's actually 31%. So that's a good number for you to have, too. You might want to jot that one down. And I think that becomes important as we were celebrating all the renovation going on around here, the screens. And it is fantastic. We're going to be able to use that as a tool. And the truth is we're spending a lot of money renovating this church and trying to, I look at it as Steve Covey's book where you have production and production capacity. You need to renovate and you need to prepare for the transitions of the next generation, and we're doing that. But the 31% or the 26%, that's our heart. And I can tell you by comparison, I just looked at a survey of the ECFA last week, which is the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's the churches that have said they want to be held to the highest standards. The average giving outside the four walls is 10%. If you look at the Pew report of all the churches in the United States, 1%. And so I'm not bragging, just saying that's our heart, starting really with year 25. Saw John Purcell out here, who was part of that, giving ourselves away. It was, 11%, something like that, John, and 11%. And I can tell you, every one of those percent is precious. And what's that? Anyway, that's yay God. I mean, that's a huge stat to have. So while if you're at a party this over the course of summer and people saying, why are we doing all this stuff? It's all to be directed outside and where you live, work, and play. But reality is, we still give a lot of money outside of the four walls. So and then the fourth one, 83 cents to ministry. I think most of you know this, but as officers, we have a peer review with 100 churches our size when we do our independent audit every year. And we look and what we found over time is that you should have at least 80 cents on the dollar going to ministry. In other words, your overhead. You're going to have some overhead, but it shouldn't be more than 20%. And in our case, we have our overhead's 17%. So 83% is going to ministry. So it's just an efficiency stat, and we want to make sure we're on the right side of that equation. And I didn't put this other, the fifth stat down, but unless you're under a rock, you probably know we have no debt. Praise God. We have no mortgage, no debt, and haven't had one for, I guess, a year or two now. So that, as an officer, I'd want you to know that, too. That's incredibly significant as we move into the next generation. So move to that next slide. I want to just focus in on Kingdom Investments for just a minute. I mentioned that over $16 million of impact since 2007, and it's growing. But if you look at the chart there, the biggest one is community outreach. That's where the biggest funding has gone. Second would be on the far left there, global outreach. And then church planting. And then the fourth one on the right, other, are things like Eagles Ranch. And so, wow, just praise God that I know there are board members. We have a six-person board. That I saw Eric and Bob Colmes in here that give a lot of time to this. If you could see the grant process that they've come up with and the due diligence that goes into every one of those Kingdom investments we make, you'd be thrilled. I wanted to, Clint, are you right here? I wanted to turn it over to Clint, let him just tell a story or two about how those funds are used. So you...
Great. Thank you, Gordon. Brandy, can you go back to the second slide for just a second? Last Friday, walked out of a Kingdom Investment meeting with a couple of guys, and one, Russell Reese in particular, he made the comment. He said, do you realize in the three grants that the team gave on Friday morning, how many people were impacted? And just from Thailand, across the world, where the money from Perimeter is going out to have a direct impact. And you shake your head. We've got a great Kingdom Investments team. And go on back a little bit further, if you would, Brandon. The other thing I want to point out, a couple of our sponsors are here tonight, Kingdom Investment really is a supporting arm of Bob Cargo and Church Planning, of Deborah Potter and Community Outreach, of Randy Schlichting and Shepherding, and of Monty and Dick Roberts and Global. We try to come in behind them as leaders and say, where are you strategically focused? And if we were to invest money in different ministries strategically, where can we have the biggest impact for the kingdom there? So we've got some incredible partners. And I look back at that table, Joe and Hannah Nallen and James and Caleb, and I go through the list of people that we work with through Kingdom Investments, a great team. I want to do this. I'm going to step back, then I'll step forward very quickly. Patrick Moody did a good job over two officers' meetings of trying to say, you know what, if somebody says, hey, congregant, hey, member, hey, friend, what is all in? It's not a capital campaign. It's not about money. The term that I want to have on my tongue, if somebody says, Clint, what is all in? What's going to come off my mouth is all in fuels every movement that goes through Perimeter Church. And so I just wanted to go back to that. What is all in? It fuels every movement. What is Kingdom Investments? It's the way I put it, it's the grant-giving arm of Perimeter Church. So just a little elevator speech there. If you can flip to the last slide. In the previous slide, it showed that we had made 197 grants and we have 128 partners. Every one of them has a story. And here's what I love about it, guys. If you said, that's $16 million, how are you stewarding it as a church? We can all, as officers, sit up here and pass the red face test and go, I would hold every one of those up and say, let me tell you the leaders behind it, the servants behind it, and where every dollar has gone. Gordon asked me to say, you know, Clint, what are 4 to 6 high-impact ministries that are out there? And I know we probably got some ministry leaders in here who are part of KI that whose names aren't up there. These are just 5 I picked. And let me just a couple of stories. Think of Friends of Refugees for a second. Step back to last summer and think of all the debate around refugees that was going on. Perimeter Church stepped in the gap, and this was what was fascinating to me. As Deborah brought forward Friends of Refugees, and as Kingdom Investments made a $289,000 grant to this group, then we come out with a video on a Sunday which basically says, we as Perimeter Church welcome the refugees with open arms. We're waiting. We're here to receive you as you come in. It was amazing to see how God used that with Friends of Refugees. When you look at Clarkson, Friends of Refugees, Lantern Project, our own residents are living in Clarkson. We're having a huge impact there and a lot of people being impacted. Refuge Coffee is another group that we're working with. City of Refuge, we were down there 2 days ago. Incredible. Bruce Deal started with how do you get women out of sex traffic? But I'd love to show a chart up here and say, if you saw the continuum of care that came from rescuing women to working them all the way through every aspect of their life to bring city flourishing, it's incredible what Bruce Deal is doing. This church played a huge part in getting that ministry started. Promise 686, golly, Andy Cook and his team and the team that went before him that started it, again, continuum of care, when you look at Perimeter, we don't just go in and throw money. We actually look at this whole thing of saying, let's look at foster. Let's look at adoption. Let's look at what happens when you come out of the foster system. Where do you go at that point? And then Egypt. I love this one. You know, you think back to the refugees on this side of the ocean. People have said, what are we doing in the Middle East? We have an incredible partner in Pastor Sammy who spoke in February. And when you look at that, we've given $70,000 for mercy and justice work in Iraq and Syria. And coming up in 2 weeks, Pastor Sammy, the head of the Orthodox, the Eastern Church, along with the head of the Catholic Church in that area, all three of them are doing an evangelistic event in Lebanon, and this church is behind that. And Pastor Sammy is still saying, he goes, in 1,000 years, they haven't seen the number of Muslims coming to faith that are coming to faith in the Middle East right now. And Perimeter is right in the midst of helping fuel that along. And then finally, to give you an idea, I tried to touch across all of them, but you know, think of Grove Park. Think of Danny Iverson. Think of what he's doing. After meeting with Danny, one time I looked at Danny, and he was talking about what's going on in the community and what he sees God doing. I said, you know what, Danny, I finally know what a community organizer is. You know, and then I stopped. I didn't say anything further. But I said, you're not a church planter. You are a community organizer. But what I loved about Danny is this guy is moving in, and when you look at Paul's Kids, when you look at Jobs for Life, when you look at City of Refuge, we have ministries that are all interlaced, integrated, and working in synergy with each other to impact these areas. So just a word of thanks to you. All In fuels movements, and Perimeter really is standing in the gap in some very important ways for us. So thanks, guys.
That's very inspirational. Thank you. Randy Slating?
You know what I want to do is emote with you a bit. It's like Gordon, and then Gordon would say, you're not overly emotive, right? And Clint's not overly emotive. And Bob, you're not that emotive there, were you? But I want to say, yes, yes, God. Yes, that was amazing. That was it's incredible what God is doing out there. We should get jacked up about that. Yeah, and I know we're not that. In general, I think the personality type of us is on the unemotive scale. There are a few of you. Brian White, I'm getting you up here. Come on. It's like, yes, God, you're doing You're doing amazing things. It's just awesome, awesome to see. I don't think most of you are like me. I'm going to say most of you are probably not in that area. I'm not very emotive either. But most of you are probably not like me in this area. I struggle with evangelism. I struggle to share my faith. I struggle to engage with people who are not believers and talk to Jesus about them. Now, my guess is for many of you, it's not an issue. I think this, though. I think our congregation is more like me than you. I think for the most part, they just struggle in sharing their faith with people. I think it's hard to do. You're living in your neighborhood, you're working, you're just kind of, you know. So about a year and a half ago, I started working out at the gym, Jewish Community Center down in Dunwoody. And over time, as I'm working the same classes and going the same place over and over again, I see the same people, and some guys are there. And the Lord begins kind of whispering to me, you know, not in an audible voice, hey, you should engage with these guys. And I'm thinking, oh, they're sweaty. I'm sweaty. I'm lifting my bar. How am I going to do that? The Lord kind of kept pressing me to that end, inviting them to breakfast. So one day, a guy's there, and I just kind of blurt out, would you ever want to go to breakfast? And he goes, yeah, I'd like to. And I thought, man, that's pretty easy, isn't it? And then I went on with my life, my wretched, miserable, pathetic life. I just kind of went on for about 2 months, did nothing. And then I saw him again, and the Lord was kind of prompting me. And I said, hey, would you want to, I remember I talked about Brett, would you want to? And he said, yeah, I'd like to do that. And I swear, there's a guy right next to me here. I'm talking to this guy like Brad. I'm talking to Brad right here. There's a guy right next to me, and my hand does this to the guy next to me. Would you be interested in going too? And he said, what are y'all talking about? I said, we're talking about getting it for breakfast. And he goes, I'd love to do that. Long story short there, we now have what's called the Body Pump Boys Breakfast Club. We meet once a month with these guys just to talk. We just talk. Last week, the woman who's been working out next to me for a year and a half has had a brain aneurysm. She's at Emory now in critical condition, in a coma. Who knows what the damage is. But as that happened, other people in my class who found out that I was a pastor began asking questions. And a woman said to me, she said, you know, I want to believe in God. I want to believe in God, but that was random. There's no reason for it. And I thought, what do I say to that? Not much. And as the days have gone on, she's a pharmacist, there's a doctor, they went down and visit this woman in the hospital at Emory. And they came back, and here's what they said the next time we worked out together. They said, we may need a session with you. And I said, what? We want hope. We want hope, but we don't have any. So yesterday, as I'm talking to the pharmacist again, she goes, what church are you at? And I mentioned this. And she used to live out here. And she said, you know, I'd like to come visit your church. I'm Jewish. But the older I get, the more I think I should begin exploring some other religions. I'd like to come to your church. Now, I say all that to say I do nothing. I'm not very good at that. Other than this, I can tell you this, over the last couple, 2-3 years, the Lord has said to me, be present. Be with non-believers. Be around them. And as you're around them, the Lord will do a work. He'll create catastrophe or calamity in someone's life. There'll be something with a kid. There's this, that, and other going on. You'll have an opportunity. And it won't even be anything. They'll say to you. And I say all that to say this. I'm convinced that for our church and for our people, the Lord is saying to us, be amongst non-believers. Make it a point to be around them. And as we are around them, the Lord will do a work in their lives and they'll begin asking questions. So I said to this woman just yesterday, I said, well, you know, at our church, we do this thing called Investigative Forum. You could come and she said, I'd love to do that. Tell me when it is. The Lord will do a work here if we're faithful, just to be out and about. So as I saw that chart that Clint put up there, with the big one, big thing that by the community outreach thing, I began thinking these community outreach people are kind of like the paratroopers. They've been out there just softening the ground. The Lord is using them to soften the hearts of people, that his people now can then go and engage and interact and be part of. So what we want to talk to you about tonight, just for a few minutes, is A, we have more questions than we have answers. B, we've adopted this parish model about 6 or 7 years ago. You're all in a parish. You know your parish. You're an elder. You know your people. We believe God has done this. So if you can turn to, let's see. Yeah, go right there. He created these communities. Now, Randy Pope talks about, you know, you can say, oh, it's kind of coincidence, or it's kind of a political thing, or it's a whatever, you know. Or you can believe God entered time and space. I believe, and I think you believe, God entered time and space to create John's Creek for his purposes, for his glory, for his people to understand what it means to reach out to the people who live in John's Creek, and Suwannee, and Norcross, and Peachtree Corners, and those hosts, that he created for this time these cities. They're identifiable geographic terms. Next slide. He also put these people working in communities. There's all these channels of influence stuff, right? People live in neighborhoods and the marketplace and government and churches and community. He's put all that together. It's all out there mixed up, and you got these community outreach people that are going out. Can you go to the next slide, please? Sorry about the colors on these. They looked really good on the computer. There, that's better. Thank you. So here are the questions we have. How can we inspire mature and equipped followers of Christ, which are most people at Perimeter, to bless families and communities? We began thinking about that. What does that look like? God's created these cities. He's got things out there. This community outreach thing is happening here. How do we inspire people to do this? That was question number one. Question number two is this. How can we have more passionate hearts to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission where we live? You know, I listened to Randy as he talked about Peter Drucker. Remember what Peter Drucker said? You can only do two things well. Maybe one thing, right? One thing really well, maybe two things. You know what I walked away from that thinking? There's only two things we can do well. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We can do a bunch of other stuff. But if we do this well, we'll be really successful. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then begin sharing the good news with those who are around you, knowing that they've been softened up. So I'm sitting in a meeting a couple of months ago, with that group back there, the Deborah Potter clan, clique, cult. I don't know what you call that group back there. They're a unique group. They just love one another well, along with Caleb Martin. I'm going to invite him up here in just a second. And I'm sitting there with them, and they're telling me about what they're doing in community outreach, particularly in the area of Norcross and Peachtree Corners, in those areas, all the things they've got going on. And it occurred to me, as they're talking, I said to Deborah, I said, do you live there? Do you live in Norcross or Peachtree Corners? She goes, no, where do you live, by the way? Where'd she go? Is she here still? She goes, Sugar Hill. Well, why are you in Norcross or Peachtree Corners then? And it occurred to us that she and that group and Joe and his wife Tammy and Caleb, they're missionaries. They're missionaries. They're missionaries to Norcross and to Peachtree Corners. They're going in there and mixing it up, and they got some resources from some rich people up at Perimeter Church here, right, to take down there and do some things. They're mixing it up down there. They are missionaries there. And for those of us who kicked around the mission field for a long time, you know what happens when the missionaries leave? The ministry dies. And it occurred to us that they're missionaries. And what our philosophy would be is this: the missionaries are called to stir up by the power of God the local indigenous people, be they Guatemalan, be they Thailand, be they Tanzania, be they Norcross, be they Peachtree Corners. That the role of the missionary is to come in, because God has empowered them to come in and stir something up so that the local people can say, ah, we live somewhere. We live somewhere, and that matters. It matters that we live here and that God has created this city and there are people here and we are called to bless them, to live out the great commandment with families and with our community and to live out the great commission and somehow to be inspired by that, to begin laying down their lives, whatever that would look like in their community. And it can look like a bunch of different things in the community, I think. It can look like forming a supper club in your community. It can look like being part of the homeowners. There's a whole bunch of things. We don't have the answers to that, but there's a whole bunch of ways that we believe our people can be. It can be going to the gym. You start going to the Jewish Community Center gym, and you start meeting people. It can mean something for you to begin in interacting, believing, hoping that God's going to do a work in their heart so that they'll begin interacting with the good news of the gospel. So as I met with them, we talked with them a little bit. They have this city collaboration team that Caleb is leading. So I'm going to invite you to come up, and I just want you to share just briefly kind of what you guys are doing, where you're at, and then we'll talk about kind of maybe next steps for you guys, which really the next steps are like next to nothing. But I want Caleb to come up. I don't know if anyone knows you in particular here, but it doesn't matter. Just keep the light there. But let me give you.
Hey guys, so real quick, I work with campus outreach actually in a pretty unique role where I get to help our seniors in college figure out where they want to live and move into different communities of need and serve. But I want to connect something back to the kingdom investments that was shown. You talked about community outreach being a big part of that. There's a school that you may have heard about in Norcross, Summer Hour Middle School, and the principal there, Dorothy Jarrett, has been really praying, thinking. She's a believer, which is awesome. We have about a 5-6 year relationship with her, that they would be a 90-90-90 school. So what that means is they're 90% minority. They're also 90% free and reduced lunch. So that's an indicator of poverty. I think they're about 94%. And she was hoping that they would get to the point of 90% performing in the 90th percentile of every subject. And that happened this year. And that's, you saw what our church is doing. And it's not just one thing, one ministry, but it's a collaboration of so much. The question was asked a few years ago, if Perimeter Church was not in the community tomorrow, would the community notice or care at all? And I think a few years ago, 15 years ago, the answer to that was, I don't know if they would. Now we can say, yes, they would care. And it would be a harsh reality to not have Perimeter and not have you guys doing what you're doing. So thank you for so much. And I just want to piggyback off what he said is, as we've been doing that, as Randy kind of challenged us with that question, do you live in Norcross, in Peachtree Corners? No. Are we equipping the saints for the work of the ministry? Or are we just out there doing our thing? And that was a question that really has plagued our team. If you'll go to, kind of flip to the next slide, I believe. So this is our team. So we've been working together. It's a few different departments. We've been meeting for about 5 years, and we said, what would happen if we want the community to understand, and if we want to make a difference in the community, want to see community transformation, how does that happen? Well, what if we picked a place, a city, and just said, let's throw some resources, time, staff, mobilize people there, what would happen? So we picked Norcross and Peachtree Corners. That was an area we just said, we're going to beta test. Nothing special about it, better than Sugar Hill, or other than, Deborah lives in Sugar Hill, so we didn't want to do anything there. We wanted to, Norcross, no. Nothing special. It was just a pilot. You do test pilots all the time on different things. But what if we worked there for a little while and built a model of what community transformation could look like? And Summer Hour is a product of that. And so what we've been thinking and working on is how do we now come alongside, and the backbone of this church is in this room right now. The leaders of the church are in this room. You and your wives and your children, your families. If we are not telling the story to you guys, we are really missing it. And so we want to ask a little bit of forgiveness for not telling you the story more. And then say, we just want to be telling you and making you aware, because you guys are the ones that live there. We go to Norcross and Peachtree Corners. We go to Duluth. That's your home. Those are your neighbors. You know the narrative. a lot better than we do. You know the brokenness, you know the idols of the community, and that's what we've been looking at. So what we want to do is now move more and more and more to Duluth, to Johns Creek. What is the brokenness of Johns Creek? What are the, you know, idols of this community? And how would us, how would we as elders, members, discipleship group leaders, connect group leaders, how would we just look at our neighbor and engage? So, who knows Devontae Freeman? Yes, Bryce, I knew you would. So Devontae Freeman's a second-year Falcons running back. Have y'all seen him in the news recently for any stories? So he was driving down the road, I think, in a neighborhood, and he saw this this older lady, probably in her 70s, mowing her lawn with a push mower. She was going up a hill, and she couldn't quite make it. And so he pulled off the road, and he helped her finish mowing her grass. Simple, right? The news, all over the news, Devontae Freeman. Oh, my gosh, you stepped out of your car, and you pushed, you know, the lawnmower up the hill, and you helped that lady. That was probably hard for you because you're not very strong, you know. And but think about the simplicity of that and the magnitude. A man who is famous coming to do something very simple and mundane for someone else. What does that remind you of? There's something that resonates with us, right? When we as God's people engage in the simple and mundane, hey, the lady down the road, instead of calling the, you know, the city office and saying, will you please get this lady to cut her grass? Her grass, it's making my home value go down. You know, what if we just kind of knocked on her door and said, hey, do you need help cutting your grass? It's very simple for me to think about that. It's very hard, though, because I'm busy and I want to close the door when I get home. And I want to be with, I don't want to interact. I'm like, Randy, I struggle with this. But it is very simple, and we just want to tell the story and help and ask. Really, you can go to the next slide, I believe. Actually, keep going, and I'll come back to that. Well, back up. We'll get to the end in a second. But there's a map here I want to show you just a little bit more of our work that we've been doing and some things that we've been noticing. So here's a map of the Peachtree Corners, Norcross area. And Danielle Blackgrave put together this awesome map. But we can show the partner ministries and local schools that we're investing in. And then we can show the apartment communities. We can also show, I believe there's another one below that's another apartment communities, if you can go down. There you go. So we've been doing for about 5 years trying to get to know these people, real stories, real lives. Okay, go back. Now go to Unite Churches. So these are churches that we partner with. Perimeter is not the only church around. We're not even in Norcross. We have to work together. There are story after story about working together with other churches. Church plants. We have a church plant in Norcross, Alex Viasana. Connect groups. And then go to the top, the last couple. You know, officers. This is you guys. And then members. So the ground troops are there, right? If he's talking about a parachuting in. So we're dropping bombs here, bombs there. But we want, hopefully not literally, but or truth bombs. but we want to just help mobilize ourselves and our people a little bit better and tell the story. And we have a lot of questions, guys, and really you guys are the experts of the community, and so we want to hear from you. And so you'll be hearing about this more and more. So go ahead and we'll finish up the last slides. So what's the response to this? Multiple choice question. A, do more. B, work harder. Or C, eat and maybe drink. Do you want to finish this up? Yeah.
How many want A? How many want B? I want C. Yeah, so give us the next slide, if you will. We don't want to put anything more on you. I don't want anything more on me. You know, to Bob's point, we have, and we know the dots that we showed you on the last little slide, we know there are people in your parish. We were talking at our table just a minute ago. There are people our elders call, and they don't even call them back. So we know that. There are people that our elders call, and they do call them back, and they got problems, and there's issues and challenges, and there's unhealth, and all those things we know. But in the midst of that, the king is coming, the kingdom is still moving forward, and we're called to engage. So what does that look like? So here's what we think and hope and want you to think about just for this summer as we kind of head into the new ministry year. We want you to eat. I read a book a few years ago that really impacted me by Tim Chester called A Meal with Jesus. How many of y'all have read that? It'd be great, great summer reading if you haven't read it. It's talking about what does it mean to dine with people, to connect with people. He walks through the Gospel of Luke. We believe that what you have to do this next week, you must do this. You must eat. All of you. You have to eat. And there's space there for you to invite somebody else to eat with you. And what would that look like for you to begin thinking about? Are there people around me? And the people that I'm leading, my members, are there people around them that they could invite them to eat with them? It's just that simple. So what we want to encourage you to think about, not to do, is this. Okay, go to the next slide now. To explore this summer. Think, oh, I live in Johns Creek, Norcross, wherever. Just explore. Maybe you drive around. Maybe you think, maybe you look at a map. Whatever, explore. It's the land the Lord's given you. The Lord gave it to you. To bless it. It's your land. So what does it look like for you to begin to explore? Well, here's where the schools are. Here's where the police station is. Here's where things are in the city that I live in. So explore it a little bit. And then to simply ask. Begin asking the Lord, what would he have for you in terms of relationships with people who are around? And then this whole idea of tasting the harvest. And by that, what we mean is this. For you to begin thinking about this summer, we're hoping and believing and praying this for you and for our members, that all of you, every one of you, this is an attempt, something so great, it's doomed to failure, all of you will invite a neighbor to have a barbecue with you, or a breakfast with you, or a hamburger with you. You just say, you want to get together sometime? We're cooking out some, we're throwing some steak on the grill. You want to come over? And that all of you will, by the end of the summer, say, oh, they came. And that almost all of you will say, we didn't talk about Jesus at all. I heard their story. They moved from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They're Green Bay Packer fans, and we talked about that a little. And this, that, and the, I got to know them a little bit. That you'll build relationships in our people. And I know many of you are already doing that, but our people, and you'll pass that message along to other people just to be with people. And see what the Lord will do. And we will pray that some of those people, even by this fall, will say, I don't have hope. I want hope. I have a question. I want to explore another religion. And you'll say, oh, you come to, how about this? Whatever it might be, you'll pray. You go to the hospital. One of those people will get sick, I guarantee you. Someone will. And you will be ministers of the gospel to them. And God will do a work. That's what we're hoping here. And that more and more as we do that, we'll see our people ministering to people who are not God's people. And they'll come to see who he is. They'll taste and see that the Lord's good. So that's our hope for you. So nothing for you to do. Nothing extra at all. Please don't take anything like that at all. It's just simply be with people and encourage other people to be the same. Okay? Okay, we are not taking questions. Do you have something else that you need to do? Yeah, you do. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right, let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much. Thank you for the community outreach team, for the hard work. Thank you for Deborah and Caleb and the rest who, the many hours they put into this. Thank you for the vision of that. Thank you for what we heard tonight. Lord, I pray that you would touch us as we think about just having a meal with someone. What would that look like? We just pray, God, you'd work in that, and we do pray for Mary Hubbard. We pray for your mercy for her tonight, Lord. We ask for her healing. We often don't know what that is, Lord. What is that healing to be here or healing to go be with you? But we would ask your mercy that she could attend the graduation. We ask you to be merciful to her, Lord. Comfort her, strengthen her. Thank you for the heart and love that people have for her. And bless her with your presence. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys.